difference in amount of money.
Call the city council meeting of November the 14th to order. I would like to call for a moment of silence, please. We could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just a bit of housekeeping. If anyone has any electronic devices on, we would appreciate it if you would turn them off during the meeting. Roll call, please.
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson and Mary Lou Stewart both requested to be excused tonight.
I would be willing to entertain a motion for Mary Lou Stewart.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passed 5-0. Okay, entertain a motion for Steve Lawrenson.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay, audience participation. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council this evening? Hearing none, I will go on to written communications. Do we have any?
We received an email dated October 25th from Craig Stelflug regarding speeding violations and speed limit signs. An email dated November 1st from Shelley Moore regarding the Salishan Cleanup Day. An email dated November 2nd from Carolyn Anderson regarding the Salishan Cleanup Day. And an email dated November 13th from Wazoo Master Gardener volunteers regarding the Blaine Community Garden.
Thank you.
I didn't get that one.
I didn't either.
And the fourth one, what people were saying they didn't get. Is that true? Okay. We'll pick it up later. Okay, the next item on the agenda is public hearing. We have a public hearing on the 2017 property tax levy, which was continued from the last meeting. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak to the 2017 property tax levy? Hearing none. I would like to suggest that we continue the 2017 property tax levy to the next meeting, November 28th.
I would agree with that.
Anybody disagree with that?
No, nope, that's good.
Okay, we'll carry on the public hearing for the 2017 property tax levy to our next meeting on November the 28th. Next item. For the public hearing is the 2017 budget. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to the 2017 budget? Hearing none, I would suggest that we carry the 2017 budget hearing to our next meeting, which is November the 28th.
Can I ask a question?
Certainly, may, Bonnie.
Mr. City Manager or City Clerk, is there any data on the proposed budget on the website?
I have not posted it. Have you posted it on the website yet?
It hasn't been posted, but we definitely could. It's the one that Jeff provided to the council at the end of, I think it was at the end of October, maybe November 2nd. Okay. I'm sure people would like to see something before they speak at a public hearing, have something to ask
questions. Do we require a motion to extend it? Okay. Is there anybody opposed to carrying the 2017 public hearing to our next meeting in November the 28th? No problem.
I
assume that that's acceptable. And we'll now go to the next item on our agenda, which is the consent agenda. We have approval of bills in the amount of $303,038.81. Approval of payroll in the amount of $527,845.10. Approval of the council minutes for October the 24th, 2016. Approval of the council study session minutes for November the 7th, 2016. And approval of the special council minutes for November the 7th, 2016. Anyone care to make a motion?
Also move.
Second.
Motion has been made and second. Are there any other questions or comments regarding the consent agenda?
Just on the items for the voucher report, is this sidewalk business with Mitchell now, is that all complete?
We do not have a project closure for you yet. But as far as I'm aware, all the items on the punch list have been completed, and they're just waiting for the final erosion control to be removed and the final paperwork.
And then I had a question on the marine playground. Is that still under warranty?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Further questions or comments?
Regarding Bonnie? That, did they put the new surfacing down yet, or are they going to wait?
They did. It's fully completed.
New
surfacing. Looks great.
Great. Is it any a different consistency or anything different about it that it should last better?
They used a different binder on it for the rubber surfacing, so uh-huh. it should last much longer.
Oh, okay.
That last batch was not done correctly.
And maybe the temperature wasn't right or something when they did
that
it. Might have been, yeah. Okay, good.
Further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 5-0. Next item on our agenda is the council action items. First item is Ordinance 16-2892, the property tax levy.
I move we table this until after the continuation of the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded to table Ordinance 16-2892, the property tax levy, to our next council meeting, which is November the 28th. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried 5-0. Next item on our agenda is the Yakima Jail Agreement for Inmate Housing. Chief, you're going to address that? Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. This is for those of us that were here several years ago, a re-implementation of a
re-implementation of a contract which we had with Yakima County for a few years previously to help us save costs primarily on longer term people who require inmate housing who otherwise would be sitting in Whatcom County Jail for, at today's rates, a bit over $43 more a day than we can get it done for in Yakima. There are a handful of agencies in Whatcom County that are or have entered into the same agreement. We do not see a budget downside to doing this. There are budget potential savings. I very conservatively estimated at $10,000 per year on a low year. We're currently faced with a situation where we have three long-term people in placement at Whatcom County Jail, and those folks alone just on those costs would be saving us $4,500 a month for each of the several months that they will be in custody. Happy to answer any questions that you have. The contract itself, our agreement is fairly straightforward. And our request is for you folks to consider allowing the city manager to complete implementation of the contract and agreement as per the best interest of the city and as he sees fit for the current iteration. And there is an anticipated increase of some small amount with Yakima, which we do not yet know, but we have high confidence that it will still be much less than Whatcom County. Any questions I can answer, folks? Yakima County does. It's part of the delivery service. It's considered one of their jail bed days on the day of transport either direction. No, we have that option to do that. We have the option, if needed, to go and get them and bring them back. All that's spelled out in the contract, but they run a prisoner inmate transport service as well. I would loan you mine, but.
Does it work? Is yours work?
Test test.
No, his works.
Test test.
Now mine is. It's fine now. Now the Chief's isn't working.
Would you like to use yours, Chief?
What is it?
Testing, testing. Thank you. The question was why we went for a period of time without using the Yakima County Jail contract. When we entered into the agreement previously, it was primarily to help with problems related to congestion and overcrowding in the Whatcom County Jail that they were experiencing at that time. And there was a bit of a cost savings, but not as much. And we didn't have nearly the number of potential long-term inmate bed days that we do now. Our long-term inmate bed days, frankly, are driven primarily by state requirements of, if you commit this offense, and especially if you do it multiple times, we are required by law to sentence you to. And this helps satisfy that new recommendation. There was a period of time there where we did not have, or Whatcom County Jail did not have the jail bed day restrictions that they have now, and the costs were not as disparate as they were previously.
Mike, there's one of the sections on page 8 on equal opportunity. Has that been updated that you know?
If it has not been, sir, it will be to council's satisfaction. The document has been reviewed as to form by our city attorney, but I could not speak to that specific section as to when it was last updated.
There's some question I have about sexual orientation, whether that has to be changed.
We will look into that, sir.
Okay.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. Hearing none.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. The staff recommends the City Council authorize the city manager to execute an interlocal agreement with Yakima County for inmate housing for 2016 or 17.
Staff would bring back the addendum when it comes in
for 2017.
Yes.
When we get the new rates.
Okay.
So moved. Okay. Motion has been made.
I'll second it.
Motion has been seconded. Are there any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 5-0. Next item on our agenda is commission, committee, and board reports. The first one is the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee. Mr. Wilbert.
No report other than we did have a short meeting earlier in the month. The next one's planned first part of December.
Okay. Bonnie, the Blaine Chamber of Commerce.
I have no report.
Paul, WTA.
monthly meeting will be held this Thursday, 8 o'clock, County Courthouse. All are welcome.
Charlie, the Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee.
No report.
Dennis, your three committees, Library, Senior Center, and Boys and Girls Club.
The meeting with the library is Wednesday, and I have no new information from them. We have some visitors from the center tonight. Check them just to make sure they are on the budget. And they did have a breakfast on Saturday with some activities during the week for the veterans. And I think, Harry, you spent a day over there.
Yes.
As far as the Boys and Girls Club, no report.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. A Planning Commission. Alex?
Just a quick report here. The Planning Commission meets next on December 1st. They'll be reviewing a comprehensive plan amendment to update the Wharf District Master Plan that's being proposed by the Port of Bellingham. It's an interesting proposal where they want to open up the area. When you drive down Marine Drive, the area first on your left by Mulholland Drive, to more water-related uses, things like, you know, boat storage and things like that. The Master Plan currently says that the area should be utilized as commercial with residential above, similar to downtown. So they want to use it for more water-related uses. And they want to increase the area that allows 55-foot tall buildings down there that are currently allowed today. They just want to increase that area. So the Planning Commission will be reviewing that on December 1st, and they'll make a recommendation to the City Council.
Not higher, but more of.
That's right, more of them, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And then just a quick update on the Park and Cemetery Board. We did meet with the folks over there at the community garden, the garden managers, and they just really wanted to express their gratitude that they've received some maintenance updates, and it was great for staff to be able to have that maintenance money to help improve the garden. I think that's been a real big success this year. It's been a highly visible site that's really been improved a lot. So. And one other thing, we're working on a maintenance program for the park citywide, and so that you'll be seeing, hopefully, sometime going into 2017, a maintenance report. I've been working with Maddie Otley on that, and so hopefully we have a comprehensive maintenance program that we can bring forward to you. And then the park CIP will be presented to you, and we did receive a letter from a resident, I believe at the Marin Condominiums, and the letter is signed by the Marin Homeowners Association president, the representative for Semiahmoo Shores and the resort, Semiahmoo Resort, and they are requesting that the city build the trail in front of the Beachwalker Condominiums. And so that project is in the park CIP to design and permit in 2019 and construct in 2020. So we'll include a copy of that letter when we bring forward the park CIP to you. And that is it.
Thank you, Alex. Public Works Advisory Committee, Raven.
Our next meeting is on December 1st as well, and I'll give you the rest of my report with my staff report.
Okay, Small Cities Caucus, David, I believe the meeting was canceled
for November.
Okay. Finance Committee, Jeff's not here. Whatcom Council of Governments, I have no report. And the North Whatcom Fire Update. Chief, big night for you.
Big night for me. I don't have a whole bunch to tell you. We do have the responder, our newsletter to share with you, which has got a nice article on chimney fires. A nice article on fires. I hope you don't have chimney fire. And a little story on our pumpkin party that they always have on a Monday night, the same night as the city council has. I did tell you last meeting that I would report back to you why we had a 20-minute average response time out to Semiahmoo last month. I did look into that, and the story was it turned out to be one of those really windy, stormy days. We had multiple calls going on. We got dispatched to Semiahmoo Inn for a fire alarm activation. Our crew started heading that way. The same time we got a call for a heart attack, the inn called back and said it was a false alarm. So we diverted that truck to the heart attack, took care of that, did not clear the semi-ambulance call, but went after. And so that response time was like 45 minutes, which threw the average way out. So I apologize for that tracking error. But we did find out why that happened. So.
As long as the heart attack victim did okay.
I will say yes. Okay. All right. With that, I don't have anything else this week, unless you have a question.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay.
Okay, next item on the agenda is department reports. First one is Public Works, and we want a project update.
Just a quick project update. First, the promised Public Works Advisory Committee report. Our last meeting, we did have a discussion for your direction on a proposed name change for, not name change, but a local name for SR 543. And the committee at this time is recommending to reevaluate that next year. They recommended no action at this time, largely because their recognition of the tight street budgets and the impact that would cause on the street budget. I will say that their inclination appeared to be to name it more after like a veteran or some other person that is symbolic to Blaine. Their focus was less on the school orientation, but they will look at that again next year. We also talked about the Transportation Benefit District, and they wanted to encourage the council to proceed with that, and that was one of the things that we represented at our study session last week, and also discuss a traffic impact fee methodology, and we'll be bringing that forward to you either I'm thinking it might still be a part of the budget process, if not shortly following, because we are required to do some changes in impact fees, according to the state. The Wellfield tour was a success. I want to thank the council members that went on that. As you know, the meeting with Senator Erickson was canceled by his office, so with the election now behind us, I think we'll reach out and see what we could do about getting that rescheduled. It's that time of year again when we need to schedule our annual meeting with Birch Bay Water and Sewer District. Councilmember Hawkins, is that still something you want to do?
Yes.
We were looking at the 14th of December, if you would look at your calendar and get back to me on that. Lincoln Park Sewer Project is getting near ready to bid, so the plans are done, and we've been coordinating some last issues with the specifications was Mr. Wanger and a mysterious AT&T vault that we have recently discovered that's in the park. But the intention is to get that out to bid sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas, so that contractors will be excited about, you know, starting the new year with a great project. We've been contacted by Walsh Marine to cancel their wastewater contract, so I just want to let you know that we're working with them on that. That was an agreement that we did back in March of 2015, to treat their wash water, and they've now apparently implemented a system that doesn't require that anymore. So we're working with that. Last meeting, there was a request for some 25-mile-an-hour speed signs and some evaluation of that on Peace Portal. We did move the one sign in question that was hard to see, that was hidden behind the gateway sign, so I wanted to point that out to you. Also, Mr. Bullock went on a ride with one of our distinguished police officers, and they talked about the whole circuit, D Street, SR 543, Peace Portal, Mitchell, essentially just did a nice drive around and talked about areas that are difficult to enforce and where we might be able to assist the police with some signage. So we'll be working on getting some additional signs up in the Salishan neighborhood in response to that drive-through. Vista Terrace is pretty much behind us now. I just wanted to let you know that we distributed $21,000 in hardship assistance to people that needed help hooking up that met the criteria. and that the remainder of the monies that we set aside to hardship will be going to the rest of the owners that connected. Our estimate is that it will be somewhere in the neighborhood of $2,000 per resident. So we're pretty pleased by how far that money was able to go. There were 11 homeowners that did not connect that will be paying for sewer this month, and we'll be working with them on how to get them on board as well. And that's pretty much it, unless you have any questions for me.
The signage that you're talking about for Salishan, what is that?
Well, it's something Mr. Bullock has been working on, but apparently he did a speed study in the neighborhood, has been working with someone, and I apologize, I don't have the citizen's name in front of me, but in any event, had looked at some various locations with them and then confirmed those locations when he did the drive around on with the police representative last week.
But there was nothing on Mitchell that was involved with that, or did you know?
I don't know if new signs were recommended on Mitchell. What I can do is have Mr. Bullock get a hold of you and give you the locations of all the new signs. Right now, the signs need to be ordered, so it's going to be a little bit while. And I don't know if Mitchell specifically was one of the locations or not.
We're going to do a traffic count on Mitchell.
Our staff has been we've been short-staffed. So I apologize for that, and we've also been pretty busy in doing inspection over there at 16th and D Street. They've been tying into our water utility and so forth, so I would imagine we would be doing that either mid-December or the first of the year. Absolutely. Yeah, we are definitely on board with that. And I will say that the speed studies that we did do in the neighborhood really reflected a very good compliance with the speed limit. So I think you should be gratified to hear that.
I have one comment about the request that was made for crosswalks.
Yes, sir.
If you live on the east side of Mitchell, there is no crosswalk that you can get across to the west side of Mitchell that's marked unless you walk down to H Street. And that seems a little out of line.
Or Boblet, you mean?
No. Clear down to H Street before you can go west.
Hmm. Okay,
But Breven, wasn't the gentleman that was here about the crosswalk something to go with mailboxes? That was not across Mitchell.
Yes, it is.
No, it was across a side street.
No.
There's been multiple requests for crosswalks at Adelia, and
Adelia's just a little cross.
Yes, sir. There. I will say there are a lot of homes on the end of Adelia, and so there probably are a lot of children coming from there. But at the same token, we don't want crosswalks crisscrossing one of the arterials. I think that's why we're taking it with a real cautious area.
But that's not true then, because you've got one down on H Street.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got one down on Peace Portal. But you don't have any in the middle of a half mile of street for the people that live there. Well, and I think that's what the neighbors are really concerned is that you have ability to put something to slow the traffic and also give these people a little feeling of security to get across that street.
If they want to walk downtown or something.
Is it across the street or across Mitchell?
Across Mitchell.
Like they want to walk downtown.
Well, yeah, I understand it, but I couldn't understand the Adelia thing.
Well, The main thing to realize with crosswalks, and we work very closely with the police department because it needs to be understood that every intersection is a crosswalk. I mean, that's state law. And by putting some painted lines on the street doesn't necessarily, we worry that provides a false sense of security when you are on an arterial like that. But
Again, I'm not trying to put on the brakes here. I'm just trying to do it in a way that has some science behind it. And I've asked Mr. Bullock to redo the count that he did back in, I guess it was like in June or something like that. So that is our intention is to reanalyze an intersection. Now, he did do more than just a traffic count. He actually did a turning movement count at Adelia specifically, and he counted pedestrians, and he did not see.
But if you do it when the kids aren't there, that hardly makes sense.
Right, and that's why we're going to redo it when the kids are there. And I'm pretty sure that actually the turning movement count that he did was while school was in session. But the instruction was to redo it, and that is our intention.
Well, maybe what we need to do is just satisfy the people that live there that, yeah, a crosswalk is something we could do.
So we put one at Adelia, and then the next street we'll want
there's
one.
There's two streets off of Mitchell that have sidewalks that go to west. One is Cherry and one is Adelia. And if you live up by Cherry, it's not such a big deal to walk to the school.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start the other length, it gets to be something else. And I think that's the whole point that Ray was trying to make, is that this is not just, you know, a situation that's common to that area. We would expect that any place where you have a situation where you have kids crossing and there's a community child care center on Adelia.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, you know, it's pretty important that you have some kind of system in there that says, hey, there's kids in this area, whether it's signs that say that or it's crosswalks marked.
Well, we do try to discourage them on the arterials, and I understand that past practices haven't always mirrored that. But and I also did give Ray my card. I never heard from him. I would have been happy to meet him out there. But
I talked to Ray a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Ferndale, checked on the use of solar lighted stops for the crosswalks, what the cost of them up, keep them going, and it's basically no cost once they're installed.
Well, I agree that the initial cost is in the installation, but there is a renewed maintenance cost for those ongoing. Now, if you're referring to a lighted, we call them the disco light crosswalk, that's solar powered?
Part of it, what would make the crosswalk safer, yeah. I don't know. I have no idea what the costs are, but I think if you have one kid that gets hit, that's pretty pricey.
Absolutely. Well, my suggestion would be, since this has come up several times during an open session, would be maybe to have a short study session on crosswalks and what goes involved in a crosswalk, best practices, that type of thing, and then we can bring with that information the information that we have, along with a recommendation. So I don't have that with me tonight, and I really want to recognize your concerns on this topic. Well, I think it's pretty... Yeah, it's kind of evident in what you see at the school with the amount of volunteers that it is taking to get those kids across 8th Street and getting those kids across Mitchell at Boblett Street. It is what we fear in an arterial situation, which Mitchell is an arterial, there is a concern that a crosswalk can provide a false sense of safety, and we do not want that. And so the disco light situation that you're talking about, There are real-time applications for that, and certainly we can, like I mentioned, maybe bring to you in a study session, short study session, kind of what some of those best management practices are, as well as our findings and recommendation. Because, like I said, we're not saying no. We just want to do it in a way that we don't have a crosswalk at every intersection, and especially on an arterial.
Would you also include the cost of having that put in?
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other further questions for Raven?
Well, I just wanted to bring up that I think you had said that after the first of the year, you'd do a traffic count at H and the truck route for the mall developer people.
Yes, I've committed to that. Similar timeline, thinking after Thanksgiving or if it blends into Christmas, which it often does.
We want to do it at the highest traffic times. Because
that's a good point. So we should do it before Christmas.
Maybe we should, because they need to give a good case to their potential lease, people who would lease the building.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, we need to do it when it's the highest. So.
Thank you for pointing that out, Councilman Runyon, and I will talk to Mr. Bullock tomorrow about that.
Further for Raven. Raven, thank you very much. Next is the Community Development Services. And we've got Neighborhood Cleanup and the Shipping Container Report.
Yes, Maddie Otley is here this evening to give a report on the Neighborhood Cleanup Program and an update on the shipping container status.
Sure.
Welcome, Maddie.
Thank you. Hi. So for the South Shore Neighborhood Cleanup Day, the city hosted that event on October 28th. And it was primarily advertised to those who live in the South Shore neighborhood, and it was located at the end of G Street, just north of the library. And during that event, we offered free self-serve garbage, household recycling, and yard waste. We also worked with the Whatcom County Volunteer Center to recruit volunteers to help one neighbor in particular in the South Shore neighborhood that needed a little extra help with their property. And so we ended up having about 14 volunteers during that day, helping with the event and with that particular property. Overall, the cleanup day resulted in 60 to 70 yards of garbage being properly disposed of, a removal of about 30 yards of yard waste, a significant cleanup of a chronic nuisance property, and neighborhood camaraderie. And due to the generous donations of Sanitary Service Company and recycling disposal services, the event was entirely donated, so there was no cost for that event to the city. We have approximately $3,000 left to host more neighborhood cleanup days. So we've been contacted by Debbie Smith from the San Diego Resort Association about having one out there, so we're looking into that, and we'd love to have one in the Leonard Streets as well before the end of the year, so we're going to be looking into that as well. Is there any questions?
I would highly encourage one in the Leonard Streets.
Leonard Streets, okay.
There's definitely a need in the Leonard Streets.
Sure.
From the letters you received, it looked like it was very well received from Salishan. So.
It went great,
They seemed very pleased by it. So.
Mm-hmm. Very happy.
I think you'll
it.
Find that true in all the other areas as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm also reporting on shipping container regulations. So we were asked by City Council to research and report on how other municipalities in Washington State regulate shipping containers. They're also commonly referred to as cargo containers and like pods. And a memo was provided to you with a summarized version of what we found. But we looked at the City of Burien, City of Ferndale, City of Moses Lake, and City of Cedro Woolley, who have more comprehensive regulations compared to other municipalities. And overall, most jurisdictions in Washington State prohibit the use of shipping containers in residential zones. And this is due to the dissimilarity in design between shipping containers and single-family residences. And we have a few zones here that have design regulations as well. So there's just a dissimilarity in between the look of industrial shipping containers and single-family residences, which is a big reason why most municipalities ban them in residential areas. But most jurisdictions do allow them in, their manufacturing, industrial, and commercial zoning districts on a temporary basis, usually in association with their business activities if semi-trailers are bringing in goods for their business. And then when they're allowed, most jurisdictions require a permit to be submitted prior to use, and there's a number of zoning regulations and other specific regulations to address some of the negative impacts of shipping containers. Examples include like placement on a property. So I believe the city of Burien doesn't allow them to be placed in between the main building on site and the front property line, so they need to be placed at the rear of the property. There's usually setback requirements from buildings and from property boundaries. There's a lot of screening requirements, so some jurisdictions require stick-built structures to be built around them, so you're not even looking at the shipping container itself. Others screen them by landscaping or painting. Most jurisdictions don't allow stacking of shipping containers, and there's usually time limits on how long you can use shipping containers. Most jurisdictions also allow exemptions for shipping containers on construction sites, regardless of zone, just because they're going to be temporary in use, and they're usually in association with an active building permit. So if that permit expires or is final, it needs to be removed before that happens. So currently, the Blaine Municipal Code doesn't have a whole lot on shipping containers. Right now, they're equated to buildings. So if you wanted to have a shipping container, it would need to go through all the requirements a building would need to go through, which is a little excessive considering shipping containers are more like accessory structures compared to an actual building. It'd be different if you're proposing a shipping container building, but typically they're not used that way. So therefore, they're more like accessory structures, temporary structures, but we don't have a definition for shipping containers in our code. And so, in conclusion, we're recommending that City Council pass a resolution to initiate a zoning text amendment, which would create a definition for shipping containers and establish regulations for their use throughout the city. And we, in the memo, we've included those four cities and the zones that they're allowed in those cities and, like, sample regulations as to what the most common ones are.
I have a question.
I've seen them all over town. People are renting them from this, especially a particular company, and I forget what it's called. It has it on the side of the box, and they'll plunk them down in their driveway, and they'll sit there for months and months. Maybe they're cleaning out. I think they're relatively inexpensive to rent, so it's attractive to people who just have a bunch of junk instead of renting a site off-site. And I think they definitely need to be regulated. We need to maybe not outright prohibit them, but certainly have some regulations as to how long they may be in place, maybe require them to be in the backyard behind a fence even then. Or I know we allow them for construction sites, getting rid of when people remodeling and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that at all. That's a limited period of time for a particular use. But to use them as storage containers and just sit there for months, if not years on end, no. Mm-hmm. That's not what we want in our neighborhoods. So I am highly in favor of a resolution to bring forth an ordinance with some definable parameters for what's allowed.
Yes. Is there a distinction between this type of container and the one that you call up the sanitary service and would you leave a...
It's not currently defined in our code, but some jurisdictions have an exemption for these structures that are present for less than 30 days. So if it's less than 30 days, some jurisdictions just don't regulate them, but if they're there for longer, they do. So... But these are becoming more prolific, especially in residential neighborhoods. When I worked for the city of Ferndale, I was the lead on their zoning text amendment to address shipping containers in their city, so I'm pretty familiar.
But these are shipping containers versus the garbage?
Garbage, yeah.
Right. Those aren't shipping containers. They look like them, but...
But are we talking about zoning those at the same time, or are we just talking about the shipping containers?
It would depend on what you'd want the zoning text amendment to say. We could address both in that amendment.
I think we should address both.
Yeah, so we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
So at this point, we're requesting council to make a decision whether they would like it to see us to see a resolution brought forward to initiate a zoning text amendment to address.
Okay. Well, this. A show of hands work for you guys?
Yes.
Okay, I'm in favor of that. Yeah. You got a
okay.
You got a majority, so you're
boy, that pacemaker's going.
I can also give a quick enforcement report update while I'm up here, if you guys want.
Okay. We love one.
Sure. So I thought I'd just give more of a detailed overview of our potentially dangerous structures, since we haven't really gone into detail about those. So since February, when we started our big enforcement effort, we have identified 27 potentially dangerous structures. So this includes commercial buildings, residential homes, garages, sheds, fences, and abandoned refrigerators. So those all count as structures. But really 24 of those are actual dangerous buildings. So we've been focusing on those 24. And during our enforcement efforts, we've issued 6 notices of civil violations, which has resulted in $6,250 collected in enforcement fines so far. We do have another hearing set for this Friday, so more fines may be assessed at that point. But of the 24 dangerous building cases, 16 are considered to be resolved at this point, but 20, in actuality, 20 are either demolished or clean and secure. So there's 4 right now that we're really paying attention to and trying to get into compliance. So the breakdown right now of those 24 potentially dangerous structures is 8 buildings have been demolished. So this includes 5 large sheds, 2 single-family homes, and 1 gas station, which is on D Street. 2 single-family residences have been repaired and are no longer considered derelict. 6 have been cleaned up and secured, and they do not appear to warrant demolition of the structure at this time. We have 2 active demolition permits for single-family residents right now, and those should be completed by the end of November. So both of those have actually, one is building a new single-family home and then selling the other portion of the lot, and then the other one was bought by Ironborn, who are the developers up at Mountain Estates, and so they're wanting to develop something else, and that's on the corner of D and 12th Street. And then we have 3 active notices of civil violations right now. All 3 of those are going to the hearing examiner on Friday. So this is the second hearing for these properties, and they are all owned by Country Enterprises. These include 41 D Street, 2480 Bell Road, and then the Rocky Mountain property. And so those are all owned by the same person. And we've seen significant cleanup at those properties, but some of the conditions have not been met in the hearing examiner's decision. So that's why we're going back to address those. And so to be more specific about that, 41 C Street, the structure has been secured, boarded, and vegetation and trash has been removed. But the hearing examiner required the property owner to submit a demolition permit for that property, and he has failed to do that. So that's what we'll be addressing that property. 2480 Bell Road, the structure has been secured, boarded, vegetation and trash removed, but 4 junk vehicles remain on the property, and no information was submitted on the structure itself, although the property owner indicated he wants to move the building to some other property owns out of the city.
What about the vehicles?
Those need to be removed, and those were ordered removed as well. So that's going to be addressed on Friday. And then with the Rocky Mountain property, the derelict sign on the roof has been removed, so it no longer says Rocky Mountain. 2 junk vehicles were removed. The majority of the unauthorized semi-trailers were removed. And access to the property has been restricted by ecology block, so we're not seeing any more trailers coming in, but there's 3 left. And so he needs to have those removed.
There's a junk car, but it looks like an old car that's been parked in front of that building.
Yeah, there's one, I think it's a Jeep that's left.
It's a Jeep. Yeah.
And so that needs to be removed as well.
Is that building going to be demolished?
He was required to submit engineering information on the building, but he did not do that. So we are going to be asking the hearing examiner to order the demolition of the structure because he failed to give us any information about the integrity of the building and the roof appears to be collapsing, so we're going to be pushing for that at the hearing examiner. All right, and
on those containers that he's got left there, the three of them that are, if he doesn't do it, will we haul them off?
So within,
we
have the ability to abate the violation. So we can put a lien on the property in order to do that, but we haven't gotten to that point yet. So we do have the ability to do that, but we want, it'd be easier for him to just do it, right? So we want to go through the hearing examiner process and then have him give us the authority to do that.
Okay.
Right. And then in conclusion, it's been 9 months. Been whizzing by since we started this. A total of 91 enforcement cases have been resolved. So that's total of trash, vegetation, not obtaining permits for things. And then right now we have 14 active cases, and they typically don't go down in the wintertime because people aren't outside, and they'll go up in the summertime. But yeah, we've seen a lot of cleanup so far, and we're really proud of what we've done. If there's any other specific questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I have a question, Maddie. Going back to it's kind of related to the shipping containers and structures in the front of properties in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Can we also look into addressing, and I haven't seen this too many places, but I have seen it at a few, where people will buy these canopies that have sides on them. So it's kind of an enclosed, and this one particular place, you might have even contacted this place for an inoperable vehicle. I think they have a couple of them.
Oh, okay.
So I think what they chose to do was to buy one of these structures and put it there.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll probably just sit there for who knows how long. So I think we need to regulate that kind of thing, too, that kind of temporary structure.
Mm-hmm.
And we might have something in place. It's almost like it looks like a tent set up in the driveway for all intents and purposes. So I think we need to regulate that as well, at least as far as time limit. Like if you need it to work on the car out of the rain for a period of time, I think we can live with that, but not on a permanent basis. So maybe that could be kind of rolled into the shipping container thing, too.
But,
they should put it in their backyard. It should not be on the street side. Well, usually there's a side yard they can get through to move it back there. But it's all how we want our neighborhoods to look. And I just think that kind of thing is not what we want from the street side of our neighborhoods. They get to look trashy. They get dirty. They get torn. I'm just against them myself. On a permanent basis.
I can tell you our existing regulations right now, which is structures under 200 square feet do not require a building permit, but they do still have zoning requirements. Those pop-up canopies are a little funny in that we don't have a definition for temporary structures, but we do for accessory structures. So I can certainly look into that. I can work with Tim Woodard, who's our new building official, to knock down a definition for those and see how we could enforce those.
They'd be considered a temporary structure, right? Or
maybe, but we don't have a definition in our municipal code. So that's
okay. Well, let's at least do that to start. But when property values go down, it affects everybody else, and that's not fair either. For people to subject their neighbors to, I think so. I think so. I think it's just, trying to not, go to the expense of renting a facility where they can store things like a lot of other people do. I understand that. But there's this, well, there are costs to owning a home, Charlie.
I don't think we're going to resolve
it's
this.
It's a philosophical discussion. I realize that.
Well, why don't we look at some alternatives? perhaps some wording. It doesn't have to be, you know, really drawn out. Mm-hmm. But maybe just some alternative wording we could use or look at. And then when we get that, we can debate whether we want it, we want to change the ruling, or we want to accept it. So when we have a little something more specific to look at, I think it's an opportunity for us to decide whether we want to support it or not. So maybe you could just take a look into that and see if there's some alternative wording we could look at.
Would you like me to report back on that? Or
Alex, how do you feel about that? Would you?
We can bring back a resolution and then
outline
what to
address. It doesn't necessarily have to be a resolution.
That.
Maybe some suggestive wording that could turn into a resolution.
Okay.
Or simply maybe a resolution with alternatives.
Well, I think we could bring forward a resolution and see if the council wants to initiate that to have us take a further look at.
Okay.
Maybe run it through the Planning Commission with the zoning text amendment.
Okay. Yeah, that may be a good idea to have them take a look at it. And see.
Yeah. One last note. We've contracted with Ashley and Vance Engineering Company and from Bellingham to do an evaluation on the Casa Azul building downtown. So that's going to be taking place Thursday. We have the permission of all three property owners, and we had some really good compliance from the property owner of 665 Peace Portal Drive. He's cleaned up all the overgrown vegetation and trash in the back of the property, but we don't have a structural engineer on staff, so we don't feel comfortable making a determination asking that property owner to tear it down when we've discovered from an engineering report he submitted to us, that's one unit in a three-unit building with shared walls. And so what happens to one may have an impact to the other, and so that's why we wanted to contract the structural engineering.
You say we couldn't tear down the middle guy without affecting the two on the side. Okay, mm-hmm. I got you.
So,
okay, so you're having that one on Thursday?
We're having the site visit on Thursday, and then he'll write up the report and give us his determination, and then we'll work with the building official and the property owners to work towards a resolution. And it's been informal at this point, notice of civil violations. And you've seen.
Well, congratulations on what you've accomplished today. Mm-hmm. We certainly appreciate it. I think we're definitely moving in the right direction.
Great. Well, thank you all very much.
Thank you. Okay. Now we're going to go to the city manager, Wilbur.
The council, mine's not as controversial as that last one. So just a brief notice. The mayor and I are attending on Friday a meeting with Senator or Congresswoman Del Benny. We're hoping that Councilmember Onion can join us, but we're going to be talking about the Bacchus, specifically set up by Del Benny's office to meet with federal agencies as well as the city. And so I know they've been talking to the police chief a little bit about some of his ideas. We've talked with the fire department, and we'll take all of that down there, hopefully spend about an hour talking to him about what we think maybe some of the solutions might look like. And I think it's good that she initiated the meeting as opposed to us trying to get a meeting going. And she's bringing the parties that she thinks has some capacity to make some changes to the table, which are the Border Patrol and Homeland Security, as well as the city. That happens on Friday down at Mount Vernon. We have been working on the budget. I want to just thank the council for being patient.
What time is that?
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Yeah. So thanks to the council for being patient through the budget process. This is a difficult budget, and for the reasons we've been talking about, we need to pay attention to it. And then lastly, I just wanted to report and thank the seniors for inviting the mayor and I on Thursday to talk about the veterans. It was really a nice time to get together and recognize some service people, and it was a great event, I thought. I'll take any comments or questions.
Questions, comments?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, David. Okay, down to calendars now. Have we got any changes to the calendar?
So I think we've got a double up on the Economic Development Advisory Committee on the 6th and the 13th.
So it's on the 6th?
Yeah, it should be the 6th. I'm not sure what the 13th is.
And it's 8 a.m. So that must have been.
So we have to probably take a look at that.
Okay. Thank
you. I'll take care of it. That's probably a BTAC meeting.
Oh, BTAC? Okay.
Okay, are there any other changes required there? No. Is there any unfinished business, council members? Does the council have any new business? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:04 p.m.